Dear God, we love your strength and courage. Please guide us to your light. L'chaim.
L'chaim. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Keith and the Girl. KeithandtheGirl.com to check out everything about us. KeithandtheGirl.com/feedback to interact live. /chat is where everybody hangs out during and after and before the show if you want to say hi, learn more about it, or just talk shit. Welcome, everybody. Thanksgiving is over. We did it. Everybody survived their families. I survived my homo brother and his older brother.
And his gay antics.
And his gay antics. They eat turkey just like us. They walk among us like regular people. I think that's what creeps me out the most.
I think that's what makes Spooky have all those questions the most.
How good was that pumpkin pie? And then Mark's like, I bought it. And I'm like, I enjoyed the food of a gay.
What did you think of all the questions that Spooky had? I thought it was funny that on the forums afterwards, people were
during Friday's show, you mean?
Before Thanksgiving, which is Wednesday show, which was our last show that
we did. Yeah. My brother Mark came out on the Keith and the Girl show, and Spooky was there, so his mind exploded.
Yeah.
Because I, of course, was just joking now, but Spooky was getting along with Mark just fine, and then all of a sudden, it's like, you now are friends with a gay.
Yeah, well...
And his fuck count... Five F-words. He was so confused.
Oh, Spooky,
Spooky's
yeah.
Five F-words, that show.
In comparison to what, like 100?
250.
Yeah, from the show before.
Right.
But here's the thing. A lot of people thought that we planned all that stuff out. Actually, when we first talked to Mark, he wasn't big on us just yapping about it on the show.
Right.
It really was that we wanted Spooky's, whatchamacallit?
I don't know.
Which one? We just wanted Spooky's company. We asked him over. We asked him over for a show since we're doing it. Mark was over, and so was Keith's brother, Mike. And I wasn't even around, but all of a sudden, Mark was okay to be on the show. And 5 minutes before, we noticed Mark telling some like half gay jokes, and we're like, listen, you know,
right. You
have to decide whether you're going to out yourself or not, because our audience isn't stupid. They're going to pick up on these half, you know, comments. And you're going to out yourself, and we don't want you to do something that you're not ready for. And he's like, fuck it. So 5 minutes before, and then I am Keith, I'm like, oh my God, the gay and the Texan.
Right.
Holy shit. It was like, just as Keith was saying, like 2 minutes to go or something like that, we just realized what happened. We happened to have Spooky in the studio, who has the most ridiculous questions for anything that he doesn't know about. Like I guess if you're gay and you look in the mirror, you can't help but be turned on because there's
right.
a guy that you like. Like, first of all, how egocentric is that for Spooky to even think of that?
Secondly, that means I'm gay. And I really don't think I am.
I love how that's the biggest response.
Can't you just
like,
be proud
no,
of yourself?
No, it's the wrong brother.
Right.
Okay, if you say so.
People, of course, then in hindsight, I knew it all along in Boston when your brother was there. Of course
right,
you did. Of course
right,
you did.
Yeah.
B. Jason says, I think Tony, gay guy, our resident gay for guy, said, you know, was the first to call it out that there was murmurings that my brother was gay. And I
during that not the Boston show of this year, the one of last year.
Right. Right.
Because Mark made his way over to see that show.
Right. And he was with somebody that he was dating at the time.
Right. And I thought that was like, okay, you don't want anyone to know, I don't think. I mean, I don't think so, but
right.
To me, you guys are kind of obvious if I was looking at you, which people might be looking at you because the show is called Keith and the Girl and your name is Mark Malley.
Right.
You know?
And but I don't give him credit because he thinks everybody's gay.
That's
like,
true.
Everybody's gay deep down.
He probably still thinks Spooky's gay.
Right. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Which is why he refused to give the key back to him.
So I had my two brothers over and Spooky was over and it was a fine, fine Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Spooky came over for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. How awesome was that?
It was very good. We'll tell you a little bit more about it. First, let me say this. This is from your older brother, Andrew, kinda, and said, remember how I went crazy trying to use podshow.com because I couldn't even listen to the Gilmore Gang properly. Gilmore Gang is, I believe, a tech show, more than popular. I've heard it mentioned many times and your older brother is very much into it. And ever since
I don't know that he was into it. He heard so much about it that he tried to get
it
and couldn't get it.
Couldn't get it ever since they signed over to Podshow, which we read the Podshow contract that people signed not this past summer, but I believe the summer before that. And the show's called The Podshow Contract. It's made the round, so you can check it and be caught up. And everybody that signed this contract, they saw the same contract.
This is a contract that puts you under a network of podcasters
right.
with a head person promising you money
Who happens to be the old MTV VJ, Adam Curry.
Right. So he's promising you that if you sign to his, like a record label, if you sign to his sort of record label type of situation, he'll hook you up with where to post your shows. He'll pay you money. He'll get you advertising. You know, he'll push your show. But when you go onto the pod show when you go onto their site, it's very unorganized. It's not like, like my brother was saying, he's trying to find a show that they're promoting or that's big or that he may be heard of, and it's just, and my brother is very tech savvy.
Yeah.
Both of them are. I mean,
yeah,
they had a .com. They made their millions, you know,
right,
based on internet, and he could not for the life of him find a way to download a show to hear what it's about.
And
so you signed to this contract,
right,
and these people signed.
And we read this contract that they now own your show. If you get out of Pod Show, you may not keep your original show title. And everybody that signed this contract or didn't like the, you know, Keith and the Girl, badmouthed us. Like, that's not what this means. You fuck. We said this when we read it, and we, you know, listen to the show, and you'll hear us say it. We don't need a lawyer to understand this crap.
Yeah,
that's amazing to us. It's like, this is flat out shady, and we can understand how shady it is easily.
Yeah, we're not saying we're lawyers and we can decode, because a lot of
it's tricky.
Law lingo is really just, you know, you have to read it over and over again,
right,
and then just go, fuck it, I'll pay $100, $200, $500 an hour to whatever lawyer,
right,
you choose. This was blatantly saying, after you sign this contract, the title of your show is ours. If you, within the time of this contract plus I don't know how long afterwards,
right,
want to still keep doing the show, you can't use the name, you can't do this kind of show that you're doing now. We
can't
own
even
it.
Do that kind of show. And was it a certain time after, or was it forever?
You know, I don't
honestly
know.
Think it's,
I don't
it
know,
was forever.
It was something ridiculous.
But you have to keep, but let's say, I think it's forever, but let's say it's only a time after the show. It's all about momentum. You can't take breaks like this in radio, period.
Right, that's true.
You can't. So
you have to be Howard Stern in order to take a break. It's like Seinfeld. You know, Seinfeld had a hit TV show. He can take a break and come back and do a stupid B movie.
Right.
You know, but I don't know. If Greg Giraldo finally made it a little bit, he'd have to, like, keep the momentum going.
True. Very
it's
true.
It's kind of like that.
So, and they know that. And that's why they have this rule, because now you're not under their umbrella. Why would they want any kind of competition in any way? These fuckers acting like Keith Malley's the bad person, bad-mouthing them. Acting like Hemda's horrible. Why are you bad-mouthing podcasts? How fucking dare you? So anyway. Anyway. So everybody starts hating on us and going, well, of course not. They're not going to do that. And I'm like, it says they're going to do that. It says they're not going to let you have the name to yourself. Well, they wouldn't do that, and you're an idiot, and blah, 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 blah. Well, not only has the bad-mouthing of Keith and the Girl in that regard died down, we now get apologies from these very shows. And here's a point that your brother's saying. Since then, Pod Show and Steve Gilmore from the show Gilmore Gang, the show's creator, Steve Gilmore, got into some argument. Now Steve Gilmore can't call his show the Gilmore Gang anymore. Pod Show owns that name. He's still doing his show, but not owning his show's name is creating all kinds of confusion.
Yeah.
There you go. Now do you believe me? It wouldn't be in the contract, idiots, if they weren't going to do it.
They actually hired lawyers to look at it. Who did you hire before you signed something that you work so hard on? Because no matter how shitty some podcasts are, people work really hard on it.
Right.
I mean, even if it comes out once a month, people put a lot of time into it. I'm not saying everybody.
Sure.
But I'm saying the people who care that their name is getting taken away, it's for a reason.
Are we surprised you wrote him back? You wrote your brother. It was in the contract that we read. And your brother wrote, he's a pretty popular guy in the programming community. I'm surprised Podshow would do this, especially since they're not going to do anything with his show now. It's just buried.
Right.
There you go.
They weren't doing anything with the show anyway.
And that's what, we said this. We said this, and people saw the same contract, and they go, well, nobody's going to really do that, because that's incredible. Nobody would really do that and be willing to look like assholes. Like, maybe it was just written wrong. I'll sign. It was written there. It was written, fuck you. The big letter was a middle finger. Signed this for riches. Okay. It's a bad movie. Like, why would you sell your soul to the devil for that chick? It's a bad movie. Oh, my God. I don't got to do that. Can you believe it? Can you believe to make it, you actually have to work? Can you believe that? You can't just sign a contract. But he was on TV.
But he said, quit your day job.
But he said, ladies and gentlemen, Quiet Riot. He did that. He introduced them.
Wait, back in what, the 80s?
I think he was in the same room as Guns N' Roses. signed over.
By the way, so happily. Was I. I performed in the same club. Slash was upstairs. I was downstairs. Whoa. Holy shit.
All right. Welcome to the Keith and the Girl Network.
I met Slash's snake. Quit what? Your day job, everybody.
What? I partied in this club.
Slash looks more black in real life. I think they whitened him up. Quit your day job, everybody.
Would you like to quit your... Yes, I would. But you guys laughed at each other about spam. Can you believe people fall for this? Get a bigger dick? Make more money at home doing nothing? That's what you did. And you badmouthed me. Ha ha. So I'll tell you what, Gilmore Gang, make sure you tell us where your new show is now. People get it and we'll happily talk about it. Because him and his brother liked you. This is from... Definite Jukes 81. I've been listening since the end of last January. I've caught up on all the old Keith and the Girl episodes, so I'm not an idiot. However, until now, I've never heard of Suck a Dick Wednesday's been applied to the Keith and the Girl keychain bottle opener. We've said, Keith and the Girl, you wear the Keith and the Girl t-shirt. A girl sees it, Suck a Dick Wednesday. They see your shirt on a Wednesday, and they go, hey, I'll blow you. That's fun. Sports the show. And they have an excuse to blow a dude. And we said, I believe it was last Wednesday, you know, they see your keychain, they see your flask, whatever. A t-shirt's more obvious. It's kind of hard to bring out a keychain, but, you know, the point is...
There are ways to do
it. You're saying you're a Keith and the Girl listener.
For example, I leave my keys everywhere.
Right.
To the car and I go, I was just trying to advertise.
Right. We just think the shirt or sweatshirt is the best idea because you walk around. You don't get, it'd be weird if you're walking around the street, I'm a Keith and the Girl listener! We'd appreciate it, but it might be weird for chicks. I happened to run into someone who also is a listener a few months ago. She saw the bottle opener, asked me to turn it around to see it, and of course it was yours. We talked about how awesome your show was, and she even joked that if I had been wearing a t-shirt, things might have been different. Damn. So you brownish girl who went to the 7-Eleven down in Langley Park, Maryland, you owe me a blowjob. Not to be rude, because I love talking to you. But seriously, blow me. Thanks for your help, Keith and Henda. Hope you enjoy your Thanksgiving. Thanks, Mr. Needs a Blowjob.
I hope that works, because I think... I remember we had one story where we were reading it and the other person heard it.
Right.
And they did end up getting together.
That's true.
Fooey says, when your keychain is attached to your zipper of your pants, it sends the right message. Well, it teach their own, you know.
Yeah, but you got to stare and whatever.
Well, if you need to open a beer, you need to open a beer. Sometimes the beer opener is a magnet on the refrigerator and sometimes it is a magnet on somebody's crotch. Now, depends what kind of party you're at. But it depends what kind of life you want to lead.
I do.
Do you want to lead a life or do you want to just watch people live?
In the lady's defense, you do think maybe you're going to get a sandwich, you know, after you blow the guy. And then you see the guy only went for the keychain.
See?
Maybe he went for the $5 instead of the $20 and he's like, you know, that's a little cheap. I'll wait till I see a t-shirt today. Because I will and I need to suck.
Although I do say that the keychain is the big... I'm part of the club situation.
True, true.
You know, it's just a little token that says I'm one of you.
Right.
We know a secret. Shouldn't be a secret, people. Seriously, what are bulletins on your MySpace for?
So get both. Spend more than $50. You get one of my stand-up CDs or DVDs for free.
By the way, that stuff is on keithandthegirl.com/events. I updated the I put the promotion thing that Keith just mentioned on there. I updated when we're going to be in L.A. I added that, when we're going to be in L.A. and what date we're going to be meeting at. The place is going to be announced. I added some information to the Las Vegas thing that we're going to. So check out keithandthegirl.com/events.
Alex writes, hey, Keith and Kenda, anonymous from Saratoga here. So maybe I shouldn't have said his name was Alex. I was listening to a show with Crazy Mike where he was talking about having a gay experience as a kid. At the end of Wednesday's show, we put a little clip about Crazy Mike. And Crazy Mike, I got to say, he's one of those people that thinks it's very, very funny over and over again to touch your leg and do the gay voice. It's a little sign to me. I don't know when that came up that's funny. Guys acting gay.
Who does that?
Crazy Mike does it a lot.
For you as a joke?
I don't know.
You know what? I imagine
people... But guys do it a lot. Guys do it a lot. They put on the gay voice and they go, why don't we... And it's like, I don't know. I get it. Gays are a minority and it's funny to pick on minorities. But when you do... You know, it's not funny if you did black jokes all day long.
Yeah, that's why you like to thin it out with Asian jokes.
Exactly.
Jewish jokes. Well, I think people do it to you specifically because you're such the... That guy with the sleeves cut off drinking beer from a can. Like, they expect you to crush it on your forehead. So... They would assume that you would have the big response, and your whole response...
Then why wouldn't they assume I punch him in the face?
That's true. But it's funny that your whole response a lot of times to people is just staring like, And that's really weird that you're doing that.
Well, I have a story of my own. 2 years ago in ninth grade, I had a friend. Let's call him Gabe. Why do you even got to change his name?
Oh, I thought he was being cute because it's Gabe.
Oh, okay, maybe, yeah. Well, Gabe invited me to his house for a sleepover, and we were in his downstairs basement-like room where we played video games and things. Well, he asked me if I wanted to get a blowjob from him. Well, at first I was freaked out, of course, but he told me how he's done it with another one of my friends before, and we made some rules, too. Rule number one, we are only doing this because we are desperate guys wanting some action. Is that a rule or an understanding? Well, that night, and many nights after were filled with porn blowjobs and handjobs.
Wow.
This happened for about 3 or 4 months until one time we were in his room at night. His parents weren't home, and he was alone at home with his sister, so I slept over. Well, we were sitting in his room, naked, trading handjobs, when his sister opens the door on us. We didn't have time to cover up or anything, so I stood there in shame with my dick losing blood quick. Then something fucking I'm losing my heart on with your brother! Get out! Then something fucking crazy happened. At first, his sister seemed surprised. Then there was a smile on her face. Before I knew it, I was lying on the bed with Gabe with his sister giving us blowjobs. Us blowjobs.
Us?
Yeah, him and her brother. He's fucking the family. Okay. I finished in about 30 seconds and went to sleep. The next morning was uncomfortable and awkward, and I haven't really hung out with Gabe since. Hearing Mike tell his story reminded me about how common things like this happen. Just happens all the time. So I thought I'd share my story. Great job with the show, guys.
Wow.
And now this person, Alex, is one of those people that goes around, everybody has a gay story, everybody has a gay story, because I fucked the family for 3 or 4 months. Everybody's a queer.
Okay, that was a lot. I do believe that most guys do have gay stories that they're not telling people.
I think a lot do. I'll agree with that.
A lot, yeah. Okay, maybe not most, but more than you would think. And
I just said a lot. Why'd it be more than I think?
Not you.
Super a lot?
I'm talking to the general public. Okay, I'm looking at you because we're lovers and that's what we do. But what was I going to say? Oh, you distract me with your adoration.
That old guys are faggots.
Oh, was it weird that even though he said that they were exchanging all this sexual activity for 3 months, which I think is a long time, I was still like, he could not be gay still.
Yeah, no.
I really think that hormones that you go through at a certain point in your life could drive you to whatever.
I understand.
And I don't think that you care who the hell is touching your penis, especially guys.
How about the brother that's fucking his sister?
That's no matter what hormones are going through your thing, somebody should teach you wrong from right. That's like hormones going through your body and you decide to shoot up to school. I understand that you're going through things, but you're wrong.
Steve saying, is there no equivalent of Suck a Dick Wednesday for chicks? This comes up a lot, but usually from guys. Once in a while, chicks write in and go, isn't there a, how about suck a pussy or something? But it's the guys going, come on, fair is fair.
Yeah, look at Twat Tuesday.
Yeah, eat it. Eat it all the time day. What the fuck?
I think Keith's point is a lot of
they
guys
have it
don't
easier.
Need
help.
Yeah. Right. I'm gay and didn't have a gay experience.
That's from my brother.
Yeah, uh-huh. Sure it is. Your brother forgot his name, so I think that's funny.
Your brother.
From your brother. It doesn't matter which one.
Dear Keith and the girl, I have a Brumsky story. I was at one of my theater parties, and I was talking about you guys, and I just yelled Brumsky across the crowded apartment without really expecting a response. It just looked like a crazy person, I guess. The next thing I know is that there's a guy who yells, no Brumsky, followed by a crash and the sound of bottles breaking on the floor. It turns out he was so excited about it that he flailed his arms and knocked all the liquor onto the floor. I would have gone and talked to him about it, but really, who wants to be friends with a guy who dried up the party because of Brumsky?
Oh, come on.
Doug.
Aw, that's cute.
No Brumsky! What? He said it.
There's a Brumsky cartoon that's in one of your DVDs. Do you remember which one? It's the Children's Parties one. Children's Party Songs.
Children's Party Songs, okay.
Yeah, has the Brumsky track all cartooned up. Did you know? I mentioned this before. Relic is in it.
Oh, Relic is in it?
He's the guy getting Brumskied in the cartoon.
Really?
Because at the time, yeah, Relic has it on his MySpace. And because I didn't even know this until like later on. I think I actually, well, I must have. I saw the cartoon version of Relic before I even knew what he looked like ever.
Okay.
So I'll post that on the forums, like a screenshot or whatever, okay. A piece of it, a picture. Not on the forums. I'm sorry. You go to keithandthegirl.com and click on all episodes. The pictures are there for every episode. And I just thought it was funny that you can actually see Relic in cartoon form.
That's something.
Yeah.
Who are the big dopey guys?
I don't know. Relic is the one getting... I think it might be... The cartoon artist might be in there. I don't know. The cartoon... I'm forgetting. Josh. Josh is the one who did the cartoon, and he was in touch with Relic at the time, probably to get some of the stuff that he needed.
I hope Josh isn't one of the big dopey guys.
No.
That's a little offensive.
Yeah. So we were in the same room... At a party with Relic, before right. We were in the same room at a party with Relic.
All right. Well, we did, yeah, we showed a screening of that, and it's funny when a cartoon can make a whole audience go, oh!
That's true.
Hi, Keith. I'm a bit behind on the show, says Jack from Australia, but I was just listening to show 619, where you gave up on the book Fast Food Nation. I thought as long as you're not going to read the whole thing, I might as well point out the good bits in the book. For the bits where they describe what goes into the actual food, read or at least skim chapter 9, What's in the Meat, especially the last page. For exploitation of immigrant workers, the last few pages of chapter 8 in a subsection titled Kenny is quite grim. Finally, the details of chicken farmers getting shafted is outlined in chapter 6 in a subsection titled The Breasts of Mr. McDonald. Hope that helps. It does.
Actually, that was one of the most perfect emails ever. I thought he was just going to annoy the hell out of you, like, you should keep reading.
Right.
Along the way, you'll find things.
Fight
blah, blah,
the
blah.
Fight.
He gave you exactly the points that you were looking for.
I think most nonfiction books, is just one point that could be a pamphlet, and they just fill it up. That's filler. They just put it, they just add crap to it. When O.J. Simpson has his book, I Did It, right? And it talks about, you know, how he would have killed his wife and her boyfriend had it really happened. That part is put in newspapers. That's all you need to read.
Mm.
You don't need the whole book. And like, well, add some bullshit and we'll sell it as a book.
The whole book is leading up to it. Well, you can't sell a pamphlet for $16.95.
I know. You should be able to. I know you can't start over. But if everybody just relaxed, I bet we'd buy more pamphlets. How come Keith doesn't read? Because it's stupid. Because you're reading bullshit. That's why. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. I'm going to read those 3 pages from Fast Food Nation and know everything you did. And that's going to stick with, no, you're going to know how George McDonald and Steve Hines met, and she was a classy young lady, went to church on Sundays.
Of course, now everybody's mentioning your book when it comes out, The Great American Novel.
I'm telling you, only chapter 2 and 7. I gotta get with the system.
Fooey specifically is saying when your guy's book comes out, oh yeah, we're also writing a book together, Jeremy will have the pamphlet out in days or so.
That's why...
He has, how many episodes do we have now of Keith and the Girl?
620-something?
Yeah, 620-something, 600, over 600, right. And he's got a thread on the forums that takes up one page that just, if you go there, you caught up. Mm-hmm. Why do we bother? Let's just tell Jeremy our stories and he'll just like type it out in one sentence.
Have him over one night. 5 years of Keith and the Girl in one paragraph. And he can talk to his dad sometimes now, but it's still weird. The end. Todd writing, so I live in Indianapolis, single, 31 years old, male, straight, white. Last night I went to PT's Show Club, the local strip club. Normally I would be a little shy and timid, but because of the Keith and the Girl strip club taste test, I went with renewed hope.
Nice.
I went with a what would Keith do attitude.
Where is this? Where is he?
This is in Indianapolis.
Okay.
PT's Show Club. I don't know where in Indianapolis. As I entered, the first girl on stage called out to me. The club was a little slow. She's on stage.
As he enters,
it sounds like he's just in the room. Like maybe he's already. What's your name? And then she's on stage. Todd, come here. Her stage name ended up being Reese. She came over after her dance, and I bought her a shot. I hate those clubs. Buy me a drink. You buy him orange juice for $20.
Wait, you're buying the stripper?
You
a
buy
drink?
Whores a drink? Yeah.
Shut your face. Do they have a thing going with the bar? They must.
Yeah, they pocket the money. Give me an orange juice. Maybe they give the bartender $5. I don't know. Because it's your
you're buying the stripper. Have you bought a stripper orange juice?
In this, it's the sleaziest of sleaze. Never on this taste test.
Mm. So this is in the shit bars.
In the shit bars, like in Georgia, okay. Places like that, where you know you're allowed nude. There's not really I don't think there's alcohol, but you can bring in alcohol maybe. And, you know, I mean, these girls will fuck you.
Okay.
And it's places like that.
So they're trying any way to get money.
Any way to get money. And they're like, buy me a drink.
That's so odd. Can you go, no? Let me tell you what else makes you horny. You could sit on my lap.
Yeah. You could say no. Sure. And like, I was giving a girl more than enough money, so she was also sharing these things. And I'm like, okay, be honest. What's in there? What's in your glass? Orange juice. And I tasted it, and it was just orange juice.
Oh, the bartender pretends that it's
the
alcohol?
The whore pretends. The whore pretends.
Oh.
You bought me a drink. That's fun. We're boyfriend and girlfriend. That's fun.
And the bar doesn't actually give her alcohol.
Correct.
Funny.
Yeah.
We're boyfriend and girlfriend. But that's what I don't like about a girlfriend. I actually have to shell out this kind of money.
She came over after a dance and I bought her a shot. Her girlfriend, in the biblical sense, was the next girl on stage and her name was Natasha. Needless to say, there was time spent in private dances, first with Reese, then with Natasha and Reese, then with just Natasha. All I need to say is I touched places that would have upset Hemda. To keep this story short, I went home with Reese and Natasha after spending less than $300 and had a party with them and their two other stripper roommates. That's the thing, too, that could throw you with the cheap places. It is kind of easy to take them home and really fuck them and not give them more money. That's the kind of gamble you're taking.
Wait, say that again?
Like, at cheap whorehouses, mm-hmm. you could take them home and fuck them.
Oh, but you're concerned if they're still on the clock.
Yes.
I'd be very concerned every moment I talk to that person. Right. But they do go home with people for fun, though.
That's what I mean. Exactly. Yeah. So less than $300, they had a party with them and their two other stripper roommates. So it's him. I don't know if it's him and a friend. And four whores. I'll be getting tested for STDs soon. But needless to say, because of Keith, the night went beyond any expectations I ever could have had. Thanks, Keith. If you ever have a chance, taste test PT's Show Club in Indianapolis. Todd.
Fantastic. He's getting tested for STDs and recommending it to you.
Well, you never know.
You might as well get tested.
Listen to the hater. Girls hate. Yeah. Well, I appreciate the story, Todd. Wow. He's saying he's getting tested. He's saying he's getting tested.
He did some work for you.
He's saying he's getting tested.
And that's
the part that upset you. If he didn't bring up being tested, you would have been okay.
You know what's funny is it was a joke.
Oh. Well, better safe than sorry.
Here's this on different news. Bill from New Jersey saying, "Dear Keith and Chemda, I just saw your latest KTG TV, which you can find at keithandthegirl.com/TV, and had to pause it 15 seconds in to go pee after seeing Keith with that facial hair and those eyes. What else can be said but
phenomena?" I enjoyed the latest Keith and the Girl TV episode.
No.
I think a few people did.
This is the one. Let me tell you this.
We're done.
You go to keithandthegirl.com/TV, and if you don't laugh out loud, you can unsubscribe, never subscribe, never go back there. I don't care. Because we actually did it, and I saw it afterwards after McNally put it together and whatever, and I saw it twice or three times and cracked up again and again. I know what's coming. I know what's coming. I already did. I was the one in it. Fucking Keith. Wow.
I do magic.
What? No, you do magics.
I do many. Oh, I do a few magics. I don't do tricks. I do magic.
It's too much. How long is it? 3-4 minutes?
4.5, I think.
You will pee in your pants. Just pee before you see it. It's nuts.
So make sure you subscribe yourself to that.
And by the way, if you do pee even a little bit in your pants, you owe us a listener, and you go sign somebody up.
And sign other people up. Sign up your friends.
Go into the computers. You're on each other's computers all the time. Sign them up to our show.
When you're hacking into your friend's MySpace, just subscribe them.
Whatever.
Who cares?
Add us as their friend. So what? What, we're real friends now?
Well, now we're buddies. I saw the show Phenomenon.
It's the finale.
On Thanksgiving. It was the finale, and you found the winner. What a sad show. Chris Angel tells us
what a dumb show.
I'm so glad. I don't even know who the winner is. Like, I know who it is. It's the goofy white guy. But I did predict it with magic.
I loved that you guys saw that right after the Thanksgiving dinner because I was like prepping and cooking and whatever. And then I was like, oh God, I have guests. I just need to close my eyes for like however long. Just need to take a nap for like a half an hour maybe.
Right.
You put that show on. Good night.
Right. They said,
what a dumb show.
Chris Angel has his two envelopes that...
What a weirdo that guy is.
He's such a weirdo.
I don't understand. You watched almost every episode.
Right. I watched every episode.
You're a weirdo.
There are probably five.
You're a weirdo, and that's why that video came out so ridiculous and so awesome.
I get into this show. I had to see every one of this fucking dumbness. And Chris Angel says, these are the two envelopes. We talked about this earlier on our show. I want to, if somebody can talk to the dead, I want to know, and is a real mentalist and doesn't use tricks, I want to know what's in, you tell me what's in this envelope.
Because here's the thing. Chris Angel is such a sweetheart. He really is an angel. He doesn't like that mentalists tell you that the dead is talking to you,
right,
and your grandmother says hello.
That's not right.
And make people cry and really believe in it. He's really for the people.
Right.
So he's upset that they're using people's sadness and, like, you know, messed up period in their lives in order to get their, you know, silly tricks across.
Right.
So he wants them to prove if they can really talk to the dead, if they can really see into whatever, then tell me what's in this envelope.
Right. I know when Chris Angel does street magic or things like that, or he walks around, does a card trick, every time he's done, he goes, that was just a trick, anybody can do it. And then he does his next effect, and he goes, that was just a trick, anybody can do it. Just right. To let you know, because he's not a charlatan, like Jim Callahan, for example, that he called out on the show. So what's in the envelopes? We're going to see. We scoured the internet. You guys wrote in. Guests from nothing at all to a picture of his mother.
Oh, yeah, this became a ton of clicks on their website, yeah, because everybody, they probably started something, what do you think is in Chris Angel's envelope.
Right.
Not even for a prize or anything. You just guess.
And they showed the clips of, a MySpace of everybody doing the three of them that were in that controversy, yappins, all the comments on YouTube. And they scroll under it and they're like, thousands of people responded and nobody can get it. So he opens up the letter, one envelope. The other envelope you can see on the on A&E, the Whenever Mind Freak comes out. You only get to see one now.
Mm-hmm.
He opens up the envelope and he opens up like what looks like three envelopes.
Well, because he has to share his story while
he's telling the story.
Right.
But doesn't it look like, it looked like there were three envelopes he's opening. That envelope looked like a trick. It really did. It looked like some kind of trick envelope. It looked like he opened paper and then around that paper. Like, did you think somebody's going to try to look through your envelope? Looked like you had paper around it. You have to show everything. Trickery. I think it was a trick envelope. I honestly do. But anyway, what was in it? Was a piece of paper with the words, letter, excuse me.
Wait, you can explain it before.
He went on and on to explain it. I don't think it's that deep. It needs an explanation.
Well, I'll tell you the short version of it, just so people don't have to go and even look up the show phenomenon, because it just takes away from your soul. He says that if we can really look into the future, then we would have predicted such a terrible time as, and he opens the thing.
9/11, 9/11, right on there, 9/11. Now, you're going to tell me nobody wrote on YouTube 911.
Right.
Nobody did.
And who cares if they did?
Yeah.
What? Now that person knows
Is
how to
tell? Is that person the magician now?
Right.
That's what you proved.
He should have. Whoever predicted it should have won the whole phenomenon. Fuck those people who chainsaws on.
You know what you should have done?
What? That woman's trick
we
was chainsawing some shelving or whatever. And oh my God, I didn't chainsaw a person live on stage on what? NBC?
Right.
Surprise! Was there any awesomeness in that? I'm such a dumb show. You
Steve from Indianapolis is saying Chris Angel's other envelope contains a message that says, get a life, dummy. Did you notice the winner of Phenomenon was the Dane Cook of Magic? He delivered every line like Dane's jokes. He was way too into himself.
Well, that's all magicians.
You know what? He honestly reminded me of Dane. I'm not joking.
Really?
I
didn't watch it, so I don't even know. I'm just guessing that they're all douchebags.
I don't know how to explain this. I've never liked... There's not a...
Ah! Niku says Rudy Giuliani guessed that.
Those... I guess they're just called screen-printed shirts. But you know those shirts are just plain?
Oh, the design thing?
Yeah, and there's some kind of special design to it that's real hip now. It's like an eagle that's taken up your right shoulder. Everything's really misplaced. I'm not saying shirts have to be, art has to be centered, but
right.
Everything's just a dragon, but on one side. Like it's, you know what I mean?
Under your armpit from like the center of your stomach to the center of your back or something, or just across your left shoulder into your the center of your stomach, but only on the one side.
Right, and then
think it's cute.
And then it's a word and like, I don't know what the font would be called, goth, and it says like rehab. You know, none of it makes sense. It's just a word,
right.
Fight.
It's art.
Yeah, and it's art. I've never known somebody to wear those shirts that wasn't a douchebag. I just haven't.
No, I gotta think.
I just haven't. It's kind of it kind of goes with me saying if you have the game, what's that game that I've despised?
Oh, Boggle.
No, Cranium. Oh, okay. I've never met somebody that owned the game Cranium that was cool.
So if you get it for Christmas, just throw it out.
Yes, just throw it out. If you really, really enjoy that, like it's, we already have all those games. They just put all those games together because you don't know how to have fun.
Ooh, that's what I did one time. They hired me to do an adult party. Well, that sounded creepy. Like a Christmas party where only adults are there, and I was supposed to like help them run games with each other. I made up a game where I took Oak Tag and cut it into square shapes and said, and now for the next part of the game is dun-da-da-da, and I drew Boggle on it, and I named all the different things. It was fun. I mean, but yeah, you had like a 20-something-year-old coming to your 50-something-year-old party. I made you guys sit down, made you guys play a round of Boggle, a round of Taboo, walk with crawl tunnels on you as if it's part of your body. Like, I just, I had you do charades or whatever, and you
and they thought it was money well spent. Money
right.
Well spent.
Hundreds of dollars.
I didn't invent these games. What'd you think about this? Yeah, it's just a section of the games we're going to play.
The agent was really happy because I brought in a board. I'm like, look at me.
Right.
And I did when it was time for Boggle. Boggle's that game where you just have the letters all in a
box, a pop-up box.
Right. And then so I wrote all the letters on the Boggle board so everyone could see it, like on a chalkboard.
Right.
Boggle.
By the way, when does a game include words like that? That's work. That's
a test. Boggle.
Boggle's the worst fucking game ever.
I love it.
That's a test.
Keith only played it because I asked him around his brothers, and otherwise he would have to make conversation.
I despise it. It's still better than conversation, but I despise it. I know you're gay. What's there to know?
Spooky asked all the questions, and we're done.
Hey, we know how you do it.
Is there a microphone in front of me? Why are we talking?
Legion premiere.
And now, I'm sorry, and now that Mark was on the show, Mark's not getting talked to without a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that lesson.
Legion from Arizona, Dane Cook is a magician, too. He makes funny disappear. To find things to do with my brothers, we went to Comedy Cellar.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise guest, Dane Cook!
Oh, yeah.
This guy, lucky guy, me. Oh, I honestly, go ahead, you first.
Well, here's the trouble with being Dane Cook, in a slight defense, but it was only okay. In the beginning. He was the surprise guest. There was a lineup, and he wasn't part of it. And a lot of times that does happen at the Comedy Cellars. You'll get a really big name because they're just kind of going around trying to try their material out. So you get him. People blew the roof off with their screaming.
Yeah.
They could not get over it, which, okay, he's a celebrity and whatnot. And so and he starts talking, and for the first 2 minutes, nobody was listening because they couldn't get over it. They were just yelling at him. Like,
yeah.
He was like, oh, I was there the other day, and a funny thing happened. Oh, my God! Right. I swear, I knew a couple of girls in the front row just wanted to rip their panties off and have him smell it just so they can watch it and have a moment.
His audience is getting far more and more girls.
It makes sense because, you know, you do a handstand and maybe somebody, you know, gets a little wet.
Right.
There's your audience, you know. But that really does suck. And I think about it like that's not what you want out of your fame, although that's what fame gets you sometimes.
Right. I think it's why Steve Martin quit. Nobody's listening.
Steve Martin quit when?
Doing actual stand-up people enjoyed, is what I'm saying. Why can't we? I keep yelling at the screen hoping he'd quit making movies. I can't hear you! You're awesome! He keeps making another one.
So, but he dealt with that really well and just kind of, you know, went with it enough to have them hear the joke.
Right.
So he was very professional about it.
But, and honestly, I can do it, I think. I think it's a skill I have. I can hate this man and my ears not have hate in them. And if it was funny, I honestly would be laughing.
I know you would.
He was doing that thing I talk about. And everybody just starts laughing and clapping. And I'm like, he didn't say anything. He didn't say anything. And you're all clapping. And the next comic after him is saying even better stuff, and you're not giving them a chance. You're just laughing because you think you're supposed to, the way you think Robin Williams is genius, because you're dumb if you don't laugh. Robin Williams isn't funny. He's not doing anything.
Well,
he's not doing anything. And look, it's a black voice again. He's
but
not,
part of it is the excitement that Dane Cook is there. It's you know, when you like someone, it's kind of like going to see your friend sometimes. You like someone, you want to laugh. You're like, I know my friend is funny. And there's all this exasperation in you, you know, that you're just like, ah, I'm supporting. And there's like support laughing.
Right.
And yeah. some of the stuff where he must know that, I mean, when writing the joke, the first line he knows is not fun. It's just the first line of the joke, and they would laugh, and I'm like, okay, but now...
So now you can't really try your shit out.
Yeah, now you guys are laughing at, like, it wasn't even the setup part of the non-joke. You
right.
know, it was the, so I was walking down the street the other day.
Right.
Dane Cook walked down the street. It could have been my street. It could have been my street.
It's not the bridge of a song. It's not even the verse. And you guys are going crazy. I've walked too. I've walked before Dane. You know how you do walkity walk, walk, walk. You're walking with your kneesy knees.
He did do that.
He does it.
He did do that.
He's not
that.
Saying anything. You're like, that's crazy. Your kneesy knees. You know, the joints. How do joints work? Joints sees joints.
The joints see joints. Ah!
Did he do the snake? No, but he moved around. He moves around like he is. He really does want to be a snake. He moved around just fine. Don't worry about that.
They do really go the most nuts when he does the physical activity.
Yeah.
No.
He's not doing anything. And you look at the audience, you're like, come on. I think I'd be mad if, like, Dave Attell was there. For very funny.
Oh, yeah.
For less than 10 minutes. Dane Cook did half an hour.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And
Dave Attell, though, got a really good response. But
then, like, when they're laughing, like, they're like, does Dave Attell, does he walk past her? Like, he left. But if he happened to be there and peeked in and go, why do I try?
No. I mean, Dave Attell got a good response, like, as a name. Like, Dave Attell was coming on. There was the most claps before Dane Cook came on. And his jokes were actually really fun. I don't think Dave Attell is not a comic that gets that gets people laughing when he's not funny. Remember, we saw him, like, for an hour. And by the end of it, he wasn't doing so well. And and nobody likes him in the way that they like Dane Cook, where that's your buddy, that's your frat guy, that's your whatever.
Right.
You just want to, like, root him on. Dave Attell works for his laughs.
True.
Anyway, here's who I felt bad for. Dane Cook was not the last comic. He was second to last. There was another guy who had to do 10 minutes after him.
Right.
And no matter what, I mean, the guy fucked up and it's on him. And I'll tell you why. But from the get-go, what happened was, it was like, here's Dane Cook, and people just wanted to faint. And then they gave all the energy to Dane Cook. And then the MC came back on and said, and I can't, you're not going to believe
Keith Robinson, if you know
him. Keith Robinson was the host. You're not going to believe who's coming up now. I can't believe what kind of night we're having. Eddie Murphy. And the whole crowd gasps because they believe if Dane Cook can stop... Well, the thing is at a place like... Yeah, why not? First of all, Dane Cook, they believe right now, it's bigger than Eddie Murphy in terms of, like, right now, in terms of if it's a young audience, then, you know, Eddie Murphy's Eddie Murphy, yes, of course, but Dane Cook is who's happening right now. So if Dane Cook could stop by here, Eddie Murphy can. And by the way, Chris Rock has stopped by there. Seinfeld has stopped by there. So why not Eddie Murphy? I believed him for half a second, but... But so the whole crowd gasps, and then instead of Eddie Murphy, he invites this other guy that nobody's ever heard of, really.
Right.
So that's a setup.
That was one of the greatest jokes ever.
That's a really messed up setup. So here's this guy, and I think it shot him.
Yeah.
It was too surprising for him. It seemed like he forgot all his jokes and forgot how to be on stage.
Yeah.
Like, 'cause even if you forget all your jokes, you're still a comic. And he just... He stood there kind of laughing. You can see as he's laughing, he's trying to find the next joke, and he just couldn't. He started telling your mama jokes. Everyone started feeling bad. There was some, like, you know, helpful, like, we're with you.
When another comic, that's, by the way, when I was happy again. And then Keith Robinson is, like, doing mama jokes to him, and Keith Robinson is a much funnier guy. And so then this guy starts taking the microphone and start hitting it into the wall as he's doing that fake laughter, like he's with the crowd, like, holy fuck, that was funny, ha, ha, ha. I'm like,
yeah, the microphone
you're faking
was like
it.
A
it's
knee
weird.
Slap.
A lot
yeah.
of comics do, like, yeah. oh, I'm laughing too hard, I can't even concentrate.
Because sometimes that works. Because they notice, I think, when it's genuine... You know, you've cracked yourself up,
right.
no? So when you crack yourself up, sometimes people actually crack up on that. But it's really just because it's genuine and everyone's having a moment. So I think comics are trying to recreate that because they need a moment. That's what I
understand.
Think.
Oh, I think so, too. Oh, well. So, by
the way, that comic was Will something, and he does a lot of Haitian jokes. If you ever come across him, he does the same Haitian joke and expect it.
Let's do a favor and not mention him. He was a guy. Let's do him the favor. Cross his name out for the picture list. So because Dane Cook made an appearance and the crowd went crazy, I think we have our TV show idea for next week.
I think we're a little excited.
So anyway, getting back to Phenomenon real quick.
KeithandTheGirl.com/TV.
The guy wins, but as he wins, the credits start going over his name. As he's talking and accepting that he's getting $250,000 and he's the new Phenomenon, it goes to a commercial. The end.
Yeah, really, but really bad timing. It was like somebody went a little bit over.
Chris Angel went a little bit over. We get it, Chris. Remember when you got up and yelled and acted like you were going to fight the guy? We believe your passion. Calm down.
I don't believe that he's going to get up and fight anyone.
Right.
He's actually in really good shape, but I still think he's a pussy.
Buy another silkscreen shirt. What's in the envelope? 9/11. Get it? The end. Get it? You want to see what's in the other envelope? My other show. The end. On A&E, Arts and Entertainment Network, it's at 8 p.m. We get it, Chris. We know you do a show. Relax. Oh, well. Tech wrote... Oh, this is Tech Andrew.
Hi, Tech Andrew. I'm seeing you in a couple days.
You know Alley Cat?
Yep.
And you know Chewy Cheesefoot? They're on the Canada documentary that's going to be coming out in a little bit.
Oh, the Dodgeball DVD that has three different sections in the DVD. By the way, it's at KeithandTheGirl.com/store, all the information to buy it.
Throw that in your order. You can pre-order it now and get up to your $50 too to get your free shit. They're pregnant. They got pregnant in Canada. I think we have our first Keith and the Girl baby. That we know about. Nice job. They got preggers up in Toronto.
I was hearing that our events are called love fests. Mm-hmm. And I was like, sex fests? No, love fests.
They fall in love.
Mm. So those guys were a couple before they went up there, right?
True.
So they came as a couple but got pregnant in the dorms, right?
She announced it by putting her pregnancy test on Facebook.
That's how I'm going to tell my mom.
And now some sad news. Linda Hogan has filed for divorce from her wrestler husband, Hulk Hogan. Linda and Hulk Hogan.
Wait, weren't they trying to push this on us before?
Linda and Hulk Hogan star in the reality TV series Hogan Knows Best. Hulk Hogan, whose real name is Terry Bollea, told the St. Petersburg Times that he had no idea his wife had filed for divorce. He was informed by a reporter at Pinellas County Court records showed that the paperwork was submitted Tuesday, and he said, "Thank you for this great information." A family spokesperson referred calls to another spokesperson who didn't immediately return calls. "My wife has been in California for about 3 weeks. Holy smokes," he said. "Wow, you just knocked the bottom out of me." The couple star in the VH1 reality TV series Hogan Knows Best. Well, maybe not now. With their two children, recent episodes show the normally close couple attending marital counseling, but they eventually reconcile.
Yeah, let me tell you a little something about that show. I only watched like a couple clips. Every clip is so stupid. So yeah, I saw the one where she's like, "I'm sick of you and I'm sick of this," and they want to go to counseling. She threatens him with divorce or something. Their whole show seems so fake. If you and I were going to think about divorce, I would shut the camera off for a minute.
That's your job now. You know what I mean?
Know,
you agree that
I
this
know.
Is your job to show it. And I will say this, that yes, Hogan's show does look fake, but as much as...
But so does 50, his whole wife. Everything about her looks fake.
Say 50% of that show is fake. Or let's say 60%, say 80% of that show is fake. 20% is real. They really are having troubles. They really are going to counseling. He really is taking a dump as he's talking to his wife about what he wants to happen for his day.
Okay,
this is still happening, and that shit is still growing in her head, in his head. And, when the Osborne kids, are acting up to each other and fighting, and even if they're exaggerating, 20% of that is real, and they're still going to end up fucked up because of it. Michael Carino's show, let's say for you people that think it's fake and he exaggerated, Kid Nation... which, by the way, is a Thanksgiving special where he talks to his kid about Thanksgiving. You have to check that out on your own in the latest Kid Nation episode.
About why everything's bullshit and you should just say yes to your teacher, but really you should know the truth.
He teaches, right, and he also, in the latest Kid Nation episode, he talks about how on Kid Nation they were hollering at bitches and why his 8-year-old daughter might contract chlamydia. So you could check those out. But while those of you that think maybe he's being fake or whatever, 80% is fake, 20% then is absolutely real, and that's why the show's fascinating. Because he is fucking his kid up.
Who? Osborne?
All of them. All of these reality things.
Okay, but here's the thing.
KidNation.tubecast.com.
Here's the thing. I'm wondering, and McNally's threatening to come to New York in January, you know, and he's threatening to put cameras in our face and whatever, and I'm not a big camera person, but I understand, you know, the purpose of it.
Right. But that's going to be different. It's not...
Hold on. I'm not thrilled about it. I'm not thrilled about this webcam in my face either. I don't like it, you know? You're way more comfortable with it, but I do it, you know, because that's part of what we're doing. So, but I wonder if... It's not the actual family so much as there's too many cameras in your face all the time. And that everybody who does this show, it's inevitable for them to just fuck up. Because it's one thing when you're not scorned, not whatever, but everything heightens up when there's a camera in your face and like there's personal things happening. Like if you were to say an off comment to me, but nobody's listening, we can work it out. But there's something about like, hey, you know, everybody heard you say that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that you and I try very hard to be like, so what if everybody heard it? And we do keep private, certain private thoughts to ourselves and certain private...
Believe it or not.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, believe it or not. But we don't like to say shitty things about each other, and we don't like to say shitty things even behind the scenes. You know, we're very careful that the other person is still a human being, and even though we spend so much time together, you still have to talk to your loved one as if, you know...
Right.
You have to pay attention. But once there's a camera in your face... You remember we did a commercial? We were working out how to do an ad that's going to be put in our show. And it took us like a half an hour to do like a 30-second or a minute.
Was it the first time we did
spot.
It?
Maybe. And we turned on the feed as we were trying to figure out how the commercial was going to go. And I got a little like, what the hell? You know? Because you were like, no, it's not going to go that way. And I'm like, you can't tell me that it's not going to go that way. Because now it's like, well... This man does not tell me what to do for those who are listening because I'm the feminist that you see. And
like you have to explain it and you wouldn't think there'd be any reason to explain it.
Yeah, because if we were behind the scenes, I know how you feel about me, you know. So there's always, I think that these things help break a couple.
I think so, too. And also when you have like the Hogans and the dad talks to the wife a certain way, and you only have, you have things cut out no matter how real or how not, and you have your half, you know, only into a half hour, that there's no reason for them to go, oh, that was a crazy show we did, huh? There's no reason to show that part. Like, oh, that's, well, as long as we found our daughter, you know, you just look like horrible parents. Then you walk around on the street.
Yeah.
And I understand, you know, a little bit about entertainment, and I understand that this is just a half hour show, you know, as not even that with commercials.
Right.
But if I see them, it is going to pop into my head. You don't know how to fucking watch your daughter. You kept the camera going while you thought she was lost. I'm going to think you're bad parents. I'm going to think you really treat your wife like shit. And if I knew you, I would say shit to you. And when everybody keeps saying this shit to you, it grows in your head. And Linda Hogan doesn't seem like an incredibly bright woman. It's like, you know what? I didn't think my husband was a piece of shit, but all the TV viewers are watching. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have the stomach to take comments... This is something we learned early on. Holy balls, what anonymous people will say.
Yeah.
You people that try to do skits on your shows picking on us, you can't even get close because you're only half anonymous. People have no problem saying the most horrendous shit anonymously, and if you can't take it, you shouldn't be in this business in any way.
And they'll pick on every single thing.
Exactly.
Every single thing. Like,
worse than any of you other podcasters ever could talk about us. Ever.
Yeah, there's especially if you're a celebrity, you start to become a celebrity, a normal human being walking down the street, that person you would have been attracted to or you would have seen or if you would have seen as an attractive person, but they become in front of a camera and they become whatever and all of a sudden they're like too fat, this is crooked, that's not in the right place, like, yeah, because you're staring at me.
And you just don't think about that. I have to let them know on their comment board. They have to know. I have to tell them how their diet's going. I have to let them know. I don't think he knows that he shaves his head. I have to tell him. I don't know that he knows that. And so, you know, you can understand Linda Hogan not understanding when she checks on YouTube and go, this fake bitch. Like, what? What did I do? You decided to be public. That's what you did. Right. Sorry. That's the world. Sorry. So best of luck.
To us.
Right.
Yeah.
To us. Calm the fuck down, Anonymous. Anonymous gets around. Not me.
So you're still up for McNally coming over?
Definitely. Well, I think that's different because it's going to be based on a Keith and the Girls show. It's not it's not Keith and Kenda. Do you know what I mean?
No, I think you need to watch how different you think that's going to be. Just to keep it in mind that this still is on the genre of what broke other people up.
I bet you Hogan's didn't have final edit. I will. Here's some sad news, though. Kevin DeBrow, the lead singer of the 1980s heavy metal band Quiet Riot, has died. He is 52.
Does this do anything to you?
It's no, but it is sad. I thought Metal Health, their first album, 1983, Metal Health.
Oh, okay.
Very clever. Was one of the greatest albums ever made.
Really?
I know it's in this article, but it is considered the very first heavy metal album, or the first number one heavy metal album, rather.
And, the one that cut through into pop culture.
Yeah, when you make, and they sell them, but anybody makes a list of the best Quiet Riot songs, or they have their official best of Quiet Riot, it's the songs from Metal Health. Maybe they take out one or two and put in one or two from another album, so you think you bought a new album, but it's all from that album. It's incredible.
Like what? What's in there?
What's in there? Metal Health, Come On, Feel the Noise.
Oh, I know that.
You know,
one.
Metal Health, Spang Your Head. Don't Want to Let You Go. This is all the same album. Slick Black Cadillac. Slick Black Cadillac. Loves a Bitch. They're very simple songs, but I love them. And
Loves
I don't know
a Bitch? I don't
loves
know.
Loves a Bitch. Baby. Loves a Bitch. Drives you crazy. Loves a Bitch. Bitch, Bitch. Baby. Loves a Bitch. Loves a Bitch. Yes, it is. Boom. Aces.
Aces 10.
Run for Cover, Battle Axe, Let's Get Crazy, Thunderbird, Danger Zone.
Is Quiet Riot on your
Don't
top three
let
list?
You go. Not in the top three.
See, isn't that funny? That's you're loving
you
all these songs.
Well, top three. Top three.
Poison is in there.
Is Alanis Morissette in your top three?
I don't know.
Right. Why don't you know?
I don't
you
know.
You love her.
All right. Okay.
Maybe top three.
Oh, my God.
Maybe top 20. How about what you think of that?
No, I don't.
I think Led Zeppelin be quite right. Well, you know, let me
not,
think about it.
You know what? That's not fair to ask me because you like the same genre of music. Like, your top 10 will be the same genre of music. My top 10 will not.
Okay.
So then it's hard to put in there.
All right. DeBrow died at his home in Las Vegas. I mean, I'm going to get along with my life just fine. It's just like, oh, that's sad.
That's good. So the cameras aren't going to bother you.
I'll be fine. DeBrow died at his home in Las Vegas, Nevada. He died sad. I know that. The Clark County Coroner's Office was examining the body to determine the cause of the death. I'm at a loss for words. I've just lost my best friend, said Quiet Riot drummer Frankie Benali. Out of respect for both Kevin and his family, I won't comment further. There's going to be a lot of speculation out there, and I won't add to that. I love him too much. You know what you just did, Frankie Benali? There's going to be a lot of speculation out there. About what, Frankie? Well, I'm not adding to it. I'm not telling you what. What could it be? He was a superhero and he died from kryptonite? Or maybe he did drugs a lot?
Maybe Quiet Riot didn't know what the word quiet meant.
Right. Kevin DeBrow, by the way, looks just like Brother Love, I think. Face and hair and everything.
I think you showed me him.
He looks like
an
older Brother Love. I realized when Brother Love was doing the Canal Room, and Quiet Riot was supposed to play it, and they didn't sell enough tickets and couldn't perform.
Wow.
You sold. I understand. Oh. I understand we'll go away. I understand everybody goes away. But when you're filling up these arenas, you're filling up places they do sporting events.
Yeah, but you
and
know
now
what?
You can't fill out a small club in the city.
I agree, but part of that is PR a little bit. Jesus, the Canal Room is not that big.
Right.
You didn't even know. You might have went.
You would think just
I think it was a free show.
It wasn't a free show. Well,
you didn't even know about it. You're part of this generation. You know, you're part of the music.
I'm lost for words. I've lost my best friend. Quiet Riot hit the top of the charts
in
83.
By the way, for a man who's lost for words, it's a lot of words.
Yes. Hit the top of the charts with its 83 album, Metal Health, considered by some sources to be the first heavy metal album to hit number one. The album was driven by the group's cover of Slade's Come On, Feel the Noise. By the way, I didn't know that. We're all crazy now. Hey, mama, mama, we're all crazy now. Also a Slade song. So I'm going to have to look up Slade. The band formed in the mid-1970s behind DeBrow and guitarist Randy Rhoads, who later joined Ozzy Osbourne's band and died in a tour accident. After several years, during which time the band disbanded, regrouped, and built an audience, everything came together for Metal Health, which put Quiet Riot in the vanguard of the LA heavy metal movement. But the band's Rust follow-up, Condition Critical, didn't do so well, and DeBrow started taking shots at other L.A. bands such as Motley Crue and Rat, according to AllMusic.com. Within a few years, the band has mutinied, leaving DeBrow at a hotel in Hawaii while other members returned to California. And taking on a new lead singer, the bad blood prompted a lawsuit followed
from DeBrow. They left him there and then found the new singer?
Everybody on the bus. That's what they did to CeCe DeVille in Poison. They just left him in New Orleans one day. By the 1990s, tempers had calmed, and the band got together again, putting out a live album in 99, and a new studio set, Guilty Pleasures, in 2001. According to AllMusic, the band broke up once more after its release and then couldn't sell the Canal Room in New York City.
I totally get why those bands break up. It's like a marriage. You can't stay with too much of that shit.
Right.
Living on a bus for a year with a whole bunch of messy, disgusting boys.
Right.
That seemed, I don't know, it's like too long in a frat in the same room.
Right. Speaking of lawsuits, by the way. New York City court throws out a conviction of man arrested for standing on Times Square sidewalk. Hanging out on the sidewalk isn't a crime, the state's top court has ruled, even if you and your friends are blocking people's paths through bustling Times Square. The New York City Court of Appeals decided Tuesday to overturn the conviction of Matthew Jones, who was charged with disorderly conduct and resisting arrest on June 12, 2004. Police said other people, quote, had to walk around him, he wouldn't move when asked, and he flailed his arms. Jones pleaded.
That's why they arrested him?
I think he should. You know what? This guy's just being a dick. And I say yes.
You are being dicks all the time, though.
I'd arrest them all. Jones pleaded
guilty. He's standing there. He's not peeing.
That's what he's saying. I'm standing here.
So you have to go around him.
Yes.
So New York. I have to go around you now.
Why are you standing there? Why are you standing there flailing the arms? Because it's your right. Why are you doing it? To be a dickhead.
He'll get over it if you just ignore him. I love when you look at me like
just
that.
Move. I don't understand how this guy has a point.
I don't know. People are bumping into him all day long. Let him stand there.
He saved our rights. This is what Free Talk Live would do. Let's all get together and stand on the corner. You have to walk around this. It's my right.
The flailing around is different because you might hit someone.
Okay, is that enough? Can I take you in now?
You can, because that's like a certain kind of disturbance that you're kind of threatening in a way. You know,
Right. Let's say not even that. Let's say you're just standing there with your arms folded on a Times Square sidewalk.
That's your right. You might be looking up at a building.
You're not looking. You're not.
What do you mean you're not?
He wasn't. We know this for a fact.
So he's looking at something else, not a building.
He's not.
He's standing there.
He's not looking at something else.
Well, then he's just standing there.
Okay. You can do that.
Yeah. Apparently you can.
This fucking world. I'm getting a gun. Freedom.
I'm getting a gun.
Jones pleaded guilty after spending a night.
Anna says, a man standing only in New York.
Craziest shit happens here. It really never sleeps. Wow. And that's the thing. I don't have the right to punch you. I don't have the right to grab you by the arm and move you to the side. These are
no,
dicks.
No, because then you're touching me.
I bet he had a screen shirt that was off center.
I will give you that.
With the word printed, douche. It's my right. That's your right. That's what you did for the day. That's how you helped society. Remember the days when they dropped babies off a cliff because it wasn't good enough?
That's what you compare
yes.
me to. You watch that stupid
300.
Movie.
One of the best movies ever, and the more I see society, it's better and better. That's how you help. Hey, Ma, I'm in the paper. For what? Standing still for your rights. The gunner, he tries to help us.
We're in the paper as Mr. and Mrs. Potty Mouth.
I stand there. That's what I do. Just stand there. My right. What are you doing? It's my right. It is your right.
Yes.
Nice shirt, asshole. Can you say that?
Yes, you can.
That's my right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do.
Although that might be...
Of course it is. Of course it is. That's assault.
That's not... It's verbal assault.
It should be.
I'm not a lawyer, but...
How about let's not lead us into temptation? You're setting me up to kill you. And I, my God, to be a judge and be able to go, now, just tell me why you killed him. He was just standing there like a douche, deliberate. Dismissed. Dismissed with rewards. Dismissed and two apple pies. Good day. Thank you. Just stand there. Why would you just stand there?
Just to bother you. Just
yeah.
to get you this mad.
Why didn't you take off your shirt too, douche? I made people think. I made New Yorkers think. We all have to live together.
It's funny because he just made New Yorkers more New Yorkers. They're mad that somebody's in their way.
That's
still.
Why New Yorkers have to be assholes, because there's so many people. You're going to have people like this just being douches. And look at me standing here. Where are you in line for something? No. Well, you're actually in the way for my line. I'm allowed to stand here. But you're kind of confusing people. Okay. So what? I'm a douche. Well, I'm only in New York for another hour, and I got to get my head drawn in charcoal. Could you please move? Now it's my right. Well, please. Now here comes the cop, and they're kicking out the charcoal guy, and I didn't get it done, and that was going to be a present to my wife. Well, I'm a douche. Shrug. Here's the Constitution. Read it. Before I burn it. Why would you burn it? To be a douche. It's really not going to change anything. It'll make me a douche. It'll make me a bigger douche. And that's all I need.
God, I just peed in my pants a little bit, damn it. I gotta sign someone up to keithandthegirl.com/TV.
Third World Brown from Boston likes Keith's Pie Rewards program. Can I get that on my MasterCard? In the future. I need a little more fame, and then I'll run for office. I got a plan. I'll make this world better. First, I'm going after people that stand like statues. What did you do? And then you tell your friends, guess what I did? I stood like a douche. They can't. No, that's the brilliant. They can't do anything. You would think they could. You would think they could. I'll be honest. You should. I was a fucking douche. The girl should put me up her twat, clean herself out. I'm an asshole douche. I went to school. By the way, I have a master's degree. Oh, today was a productive day. High low, honey. Wow, I stood like a douche. I guess the spitting on was low. I'd file a report, but then I'm not standing there, and don't think that I gave up. Can't let them think I gave up. You know what I like to do? I like to stand like a douche outside of all those Italian restaurants. What's that called? Italian Row. What's that
Little
called?
Italy.
Little Italy. I just stand there so that they keep asking, table two, come in. We have the specials. I let four hostesses see me, so they keep trying to get me in. I just stand there because I'm a douche. I'm like, well, sir, can you get off the side? No. No! We're real brave, by the way. Stand outside a club and just stand there when they go, you can't be here in front of the thing. Go, actually, I could. Really? Because you're dead. Do there and make a difference, douche. You got to be where all the tourists are. That's where you make a difference. Everybody makes a safe difference. Don't you free talk live. Where do you burn your flags? In the middle of a forest! Burn a flag down by City Hall where it matters. And let's all get to the woods and burn flags and beat off. You got your drums? Way to make a difference.
Oh, God.
We're all meeting in the middle of the woods, and we're going to burn flags and giggle and fuck George Bush.
Shut up.
I think we made a difference. Yay, all the flags are burned. I think we're good. Is that safe, though, for the hot dogs, the flag material? I don't know. Let's go to the store and buy brand name products that the government okayed. Idiots. All right. So anyway, he's free to go. I'm going to be buried standing up. I'll be buried right in Times Square. Well, that's against law. To be convicted of disorderly conduct in New York, a person must be acting, quote, with intent to cause public inconvenience, annoyance, or alarm, or recklessly creating a risk thereof.
Oh, wait,
yes,
part of that
to
is
all.
What,
yes.
Well, not to all, but the beginning stuff.
Intent to cause public inconvenience, yes. Annoyance, yes. Alarm, well, you got my attention. Or recklessly creating a risk. I'm bumping into other people. And obstructing vehicular or pedestrian traffic, yes.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what he was doing.
The court found that Jones's behavior standing in the middle of the sidewalk at 2:01 a.m. with friends did not meet the definition. What would he have had to do? And I'm sure there wasn't any booze in him at 2 in the morning. I'm sure there wasn't.
Well, he had to stand still. You can't really do that.
Otherwise, any person who happens to stop on a... Here it is! Here's where you hippies go nuts! Fucking disbar this guy. Otherwise, any person who happens to stop on a sidewalk, whether to greet another, to seek directions, or simply to regain one's bearings, would be subject to prosecution under this statute. Yes. If they don't let me smoke, what are they going to take away next? My right to eat a salad? Probably, the way this is going. George Bush wants to fuck me in the ass. I can see in the smirk.
Josh, I do want to know, what's a forest?
I want to know. I would go to those meetings. I don't know what it is. That's my whole point, Josh.
That's his whole point.
Oh, well.
Ready, McNally?
Speaking of 300, by the way, I saw the movie Beowulf, you know, with my
brothers and Spooky.
Yeah. And how come it's horrible, by the way. You think it's going to be something like 300. It's fucking horrible.
It
it's
looks
so
exactly
simple.
Like 300. The commercials, you know, arrows, a lot of arrows coming at one group of people at a time. Some guys screaming, I am Beowulf, just like we are 300.
Right. Thumbs down. You don't have the technology to make everything, whatever it is, green screen, whatever the fuck it's called. You don't have that technology. 300.
Not yet, people.
300 was real people, and you added all that shit. Like, the guy's face, they changed a little bit.
They had a little more muscle.
Right, all the muscles were exaggerated. But it's still people that had to go through these motions. These people, they look like clay. It's weird. Rubber. They all look like rubber, and it's very weird. And I really wanted to see.
Are they actually fake people, though? It's not real people, right?
I don't know when they moved, but I'm sure they didn't even move. I mean, everybody's flipping around doing things people can't do.
I see.
They're all like superheroes almost.
So it's like a cartoon thing, like a live.
It's like a cartoon. It's much more like a cartoon than a live action. Much more.
Okay.
And the story's very, very simple. And I won't give it away if you see it, but very, very simple. And I remember we're going back to the car. My brother's in Spooky.
So was 300. 300 was there. 300 was done really well, though.
Okay. So can't something just be simple, though? And everything doesn't have to mean something? Did you see the symbolism of the Catholic Church? Yes, I saw the cross fall. We all saw the same fucking thing. Everything's not deep. Everything's not deep. He fucked Angelina Jolie, now everybody's in trouble. The end. There's the movie. I did give it away. They fuck, everybody's in trouble. That's Billy Bob Thornton. He knows. You fuck Angelina Jolie and then everybody's in trouble. There's not deep shit. The king was drunk and that represented the slovenness of the nation. He was drunk! He represented a drunk. Keith, are you drunk again? Well, I'm representing the... No, I'm just a drunk.
You're right about that.
But I don't act like it's deeper.
No, you don't.
The end. Well, here's somebody trying to make two girls, one cup deep in a school report.
Oh, you know, I just caught that today on our forums, and I was so upset because I had to run out the door. And the balls on this guy or girl, who wrote this?
I'm going to assume guy, but that's just sexist to me.
I love that he posted this on the forums because that's the only place he's going to get kudos for it.
Two girls, one cup. In the masterful modern work, Two Girls, One Cup, the feminist genre is re-examined through a series of reversals of expectations. The prevalent ideologies of our culture are filtered through the lens of the pornographic nature, and in true modern form, the work tends to raise more questions than it answers.
Wow.
Here's where our society's going. It's two chicks eating shit, throwing up on it, eating each other, throwing up in each other's mouth and making out.
Okay. Okay, but as a teacher... Can't you understand that that person just wrote, like, how old is this person?
Right, I don't know, but you assume young.
Yeah, if this kid is young, this is pretty incredible.
Right.
You know, if this is college, shut your face.
Right.
You know, but I'm gonna say around ninth grade, you go. That's pretty cool. I mean, just the fact that he can express it in that sense, like you got to give him writing skill credit.
Right. Legion. Two Girls, One Cup is the vagina monologues of shit-eating. okay. So, by the way, pornographic genre is underlined by the teacher. This is marked up by the teacher, too. Underlined with question mark, question mark, question mark.
Yeah, he scanned it in after his teacher read it and marked it up.
What does pornographic genre mean? Well, read more. You know, you got to read more. You don't just read the whole story. Like, I understand I'm not going to read the book because it's boring, but I didn't look at Fast Food Nation and go, then they met Carol Hines and had babies. Like, where the fuck is this going? I don't know, Keith. There's 400 more pages.
But also, pornographic genre is...
It's a genre, it's, pornographic.
Yeah, it stands alone.
Right.
It's okay. No questions. What? This teacher never saw any pornographic material ever?
Right.
What happened?
What is this?
First of all, do you even know what he's talking about? Two girls, one cup?
The person,
yeah. I mean, you had to have heard of it to even mark up this paper, right?
The opening image, that of the stenciled MFX 1209, suggests a confusing misunderstanding. The 1209 seems as some sort of date, yes, the aesthetic of the number lends itself to a futuristic association.
Okay, what's this? Did I miss something on the
whenever
video?
Whenever you start the video, it's just it's right in the middle. It's the same video you saw, MFX 1209. I don't know what it means.
Oh, okay.
Maybe
that's the part that didn't stick in my head.
It's the card catalog, so that you can, for easy reference. This blurring of past and future, mixed with the confusion of the assumed-to-be acronym, primes the audience for the confusion to come.
Okay.
The first image with the two, primary characters, in parentheses, who, for the sake of this reading, I will consider to be the two girls that are referred to in the title. And the teacher crossed that out and wrote, obvious, no need.
I can go for that.
That's why it's in parentheses.
No, that was extra.
Is seemingly innocuous.
That's a big word.
The cross-cultural lesbian interaction defines the equal rights, both feminine and racial, within the genre of pornography.
Why does it define equal rights of race?
Let's find out.
Oh, was one black? All I
one
can think
different.
Of is what was coming out of what.
It's hard to... You missed
Seriously.
The... That's why this is a good paper. You catch nuances. The gentle background music lulls the audience to sleep, and the timely but gradual change into the next short at 11 seconds goes by largely unnoticed by the audience. The eyes are immediately drawn to the cup, in parentheses, also presumed to be that mentioned in the title, and it's crossed out. Again, no need. The inversion of the phallus, it's underlined with big bold, what? The inversion of the phallus, and perhaps one of the most overarching symbols for the feminine spirituality and sexuality in antiquity. That, you know, that is true. The cup represents the vagina. I've heard that. I've heard that in my dopey English classes when we had to read old stuff because nothing new is ever good. You fucking English teachers and your 17 cats. No new good books ever. Ever. I had to read Beowulf in school written in the 12th century. 5th century, excuse me. Or 8th. Nobody really knows. That's the brilliance of it. Did anybody write anything new? I wouldn't know. I'm too busy crying, looking at my old fucking books. If you can't buy it in leather, it's no good. I say. Now, this whole section says, huh? And not appropriate. Good job, English teacher. Huh?
She really wrote, huh?
Yeah.
Why do I think it's a female teacher?
That's what I do. Right. That's what I should write on my test. Huh? The gentle piano concerto will continue as the cup is suddenly and ironically filled with a steaming load of fecal matter from the anus of our primary character. In this way, you know what? I remember watching that thinking, I could tell who's in charge. In this way, the masculinist derogatory nature of the pornographic genre returns in a surprising, explosive manner. The fecal matter penetrates the sacred chalice, which raises a number of interesting questions. Many of these questions pertains to lesbian sexuality. Is womanly love possible without the masculine grotesque?
Wow. I have to give him a big wow. If she can give him a huh, I'm going to give him a wow
yeah,
right there.
That's good. Can't girls just love each other with guys being asshole douches?
No. I'm not saying good or bad.
I'm saying great.
Wow.
Is the pornographic genre doomed to exist within the realm of humiliating acts, even when the only participants are an innocuous two girls in one cup? The later image of the two characters attempting to kiss through the feces of the masculine grotesque, as well as the literal feces, will only support this theme. The excited but hesitant tonguing suggests a sort of apprehension on the part of the lead characters. That's true. They didn't seem to be into that part. But by 25 seconds, any hope for redemption has been lost. The transition from playful tonguing to full fecal consumption happens as quickly as the transition to the original defectory act. Why do these central thematic moments happen off stage? Her is like when somebody, like, I'd like to fuck you. And what? I didn't hear you. You heard me. I want to fuck you. You heard me. I'm sorry. What didn't you say? You heard him, teacher. Huh? Well, reread it. You have it all night. Reread it till you get it. I think you get it. They're eating shit. I think you get it.
I'm glad this kid writes out stuff, especially if he's younger, because if not, he would just shoot people.
Right.
There's just too much in this man's brain.
There is no dramatic dialogue. Neither character gives voice to the greater internal struggles that surely must precede the decision to consume another's feces. This central thematic crux is internalized in both the characters and thus is obscured from the audience perception as well. Guess what grade he got? Or do you know?
I think he got a zero.
He got a 0%.
Yeah.
Yeah. 0%.
I only know that because I read it, but he should have gotten some credit.
Why do you make it negative 0%? F minus minus.
Well, what was the genre he's supposed to write? What was he supposed to write? Was it just anything?
It sounds like one of those stupid assignments. Write about anything. Well, I'm not going to have the passion to write about anything. All right. Well, find the passion tonight. Okay. I'm doing you a favor.
Fooey from Tulsa, this kid's paper has a footnote for Keith and the Girl forums and references to youporn.com. Oh, the future, the future.
Yes. I labeled all my sources. Oh, wells. What else before we get out of here?
Oh, I just want, I did some singing work today.
Oh!
I worked with a guy named MC Lars, so go to myspace.com/MC Lars, just check out his stuff.
Way back in the day with Kimmy Gatewood,
yeah.
She was doing a thing on Nerdcore, and he's a big guy in that, right?
Yeah, she did an interview with him. He's one of the big guys on Nerdcore. And so the guy who hooked me up with Conjure One, I did vocals for Conjure One, is working with MC Lars, and he's in town, and so I just did, it was like a funny song, I got to do the hook, and some oohs and ahs, and blah, 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 I got paid for some singing. Anyway, so when that comes out, we are going to be debuting it here. It's going to take a couple months to put it together. He's working on a whole album, but that was pretty cool. So go to myspace.com/MCLARS.
All right.
And just check him out. And when that comes out, we'll let you know. Don't forget to go to keithandthegirl.com/TV. And we're probably coming to your town if you're going to be in LA, Vegas, Florida, Mexico. Go to keithandthegirl.com/events.
All right. Also, I want to play this song that I found since we're talking about music. The MySpace is Risque Drama Queen. Risque the Drama Queen has a song. I don't even want to say the title. I will tell you her other songs. Krispy Kreme, which is about how fine her pussy juice is. Yeah. I'm the Shit and You Ain't Shit.
There's a theme there.
And when you listen to this song, I want you to think about the great Kevin DeBrow being in heaven and hearing it. And thinking, what the fuck? I never had a chance. Music like this. If George Washington came back and heard the music that we're listening to, fuck the pain away! Fuck the pain away! Fuck the pain away! Would he be like, wow, what the fuck happened to this culture? And you try to explain to him, yes, this is music to us, George
Washington.
It's
honest. Fuck the pain away.
Fuck the pain
away.
I've
done that before. It's very helpful.
And you go, yes, George Washington, people to go to concerts and see this stuff. And he's like, what's a concert? And he's like, oh, George Washington. You know, you have to explain everything to George because he just came back from, you know, incoming. No, that's an airplane, George. You know, I guess there wouldn't really be any point. But, you know, he really would be confused by this music. Kevin DeBrow, you didn't sell out Canal Room because you didn't even have a chance with shit like this. This is fantastic. This is Rick A. And I'm not going to name the song, but we'll see you guys tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Real quick, Legion saying about Two Girls, One Cup. The cup represents the Holy Grail, and the shit represents shitting in the Holy Grail. Very good. I'd at least give you a percent for that. Peace.
DJ Quest. Nigga, this the 15th motherfucking time that I called and left your ass messages. I done text your bitch ass, and you ain't responded to nothing. What the fuck is you doing? Who the fuck is you out there with? You think I'm stupid? My girls already done put me up on your ass tonight, nigga. When you get home, I got some news for your bitch ass. Bitch.
Why are you coming home? 5 in the morning. Something's going on.
Something's going on, can I smell your dick? bitch get eyes swole up. And I don't give a damn what your homegirl seen when I was in the club. What the fuck?